Great to worship in the house of the Lord with you together today. And my name is Luke Rosenberger, and I'm just thankful we can be here together. We can worship our King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that we can joyfully be in His presence, that we can joyfully sing and worship and praise the name of Jesus. You know, if you have a goal, if you've set your mind on a goal, usually you have to realize, or when I've had a goal, I've had to realize, is the reward worth the trial or the pain? Is it worth the training? Is it worth whatever the goal is? And so if I want to accomplish something, I have to have my mind on that. Like, and it has to be every day, and it has to be all the time. Otherwise, the goal is not going to be successful. And the same way is if you're trying to run a marathon, and that's a super ambitious goal, but if you're going to try to run 26.2 miles, then it's not recommended that you just sign up to run the marathon the next week or the next month. You train for it. You train, and you have this... You have this schedule of training. There's also probably some things that you choose to not eat, or some things you choose to eat that's going to be better for you for that training for that marathon. If you have your eyes on the goal or your eyes on the prize, you're trying to decide, is this going to be the best thing? And if you have to work hard for it. I've never run a marathon before, but I have several times, especially when Ellen and I were newly married living in Nicaragua, we like to sign up to go on these 5K runs. And I know there's a lot, 5Ks are still pretty popular, but we would do these 5Ks, and we just would go, and whether it was like on a beach town, or was it like out in the jungle or somewhere, it was like, or even just the middle of the city, there was always some excitement in training for that 5K and going ahead and running in that. And we never were like placing in the top anything. You know, we were just, our goal was to finish and to have fun. And it was a lot of fun because we would go with other people that we knew and we'd have a lot of fun together. But our eye on the prize was to have a great time and to have fun, to be training towards something that was good. We're going to be looking at in the book of Philippians today about this, how Apostle Paul wanted each of us, or each of the Philippians, and those he's writing to, he wants them to have their eyes on the prize. He wants to let us know that he's going to have his eyes on the prize throughout his life, and he wants us to do the same. And so if you would turn to the book of Philippians, it's in the New Testament. It's a small little book, four chapters long, and we're going to be in the second part of chapter 3 today. And as we've gone through this letter of Philippians, we've seen every week just the joy that Paul has. The joy that he wants, not just that he has, but the joy he wants other believers to have. And that joy is only found in Jesus Christ. That joy is a joy that is filling. That joy, he says many times, have my joy or your joy would be complete, that he would continue to have more and more of it. And so we've looked at several of these things, these ideas, but some of the main things in this book so far we've looked at is that joy is something that we want, and joy is something that we can be filled in Jesus. We have to empty ourselves, like how Jesus emptied himself on the cross, or emptied himself to be a humble servant. Jesus took he died in our place, and he did that out of his love. And he had this mindset, and Paul wants believers that have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. That same mindset where we're not complaining, we're not arguing, not making it about ourselves, not making whatever we want to happen, but looking at the interests of others, looking at the mindset of Jesus, who became nothing, like a servant, and he came to serve. And Paul says, we're to have that mindset of Jesus, the mindset of looking out for others, looking out for other people. And when you're going to do that, you're going to receive more and more joy. You're going to be filled with joy, having the joy of Jesus, because that mindset of Jesus is what it shows humility. It shows generosity. It shows grace. And it really is about keeping our eyes on the prize, keeping our eyes on Jesus. So as we look at this in chapter 3 today, starting in verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I've already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on and take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me." And so I just want to pause there for a second, because what is it that he's already obtained? What is it he said he's not already obtained this? His goal, what he's talking about just in the verses before, is he's thinking about this participation with Christ in his sufferings, this knowing Jesus, finding righteousness only in Jesus Christ, not our own righteousness. And he wants to just know the power of the cross. He wants to know the power of resurrection and participate in his suffering. Somehow be like Jesus. And so he's saying, not that I've already obtained all this, verse 12, or have already arrived at this goal, or really this idea is being made perfect or perfected. But he says, I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal of to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, there's this... Paul's talking, he's using a lot of active verbs here. He's talking about straining and pressing and taking hold of, and he's looking ahead. He's thinking about what is the prize. Now, in the context of what Paul is, you know, we kind of forget sometimes, maybe I do, that, you know, he's writing this from a jail cell, or he's writing this from or house arrest. He's in chains, whichever way you look at it. He is not a free man right now. And so he's writing this thinking about, he doesn't know when the end is coming. None of us know when the end is coming, but he doesn't know what's going to happen when he goes on trial, if he's going to have to lose his life or not. And he's not afraid of that. He talks about that in chapter 1, in chapter 2 also. But here he's just looking at, like, I am straining. I'm looking forward. I'm thinking about that prize. I want to win the prize. And that prize is Jesus. So he's keeping his eyes on Jesus. And joy-filled believers have their eyes on Jesus. If you want to be full of joy and that you are in Christ, your joy is going to be found because you keep your eyes on the goal, your eyes on the prize, your eyes on your faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not about all the other things, but it's about Jesus. He knew that his goal was that prize of Jesus. You know, if you are trying to earn a prize, you go through the training. You go through, you know, this is a little prize, but you go through the effort of trying to get that goal. Whatever it is, you know, if that goal is in sight, it helps you remember what you're doing. If your goal is to win the prize, it helps you along the way. It helps you keep that focus. And so when we keep our eyes on Jesus, it helps us to keep our focus. What are we all about? What is the purpose of living? What is the purpose of, you know, I know I'm going through my everyday, normal life, and it's easy to think about all the other things of this life, but if your eyes are on Jesus, on the prize, it helps us. It helps us think really purposefully. It helps us think passionately. It helps us to really just know, not just know, but to be aware that there is a goal, and that goal is Jesus. And that we want other people to know that goal and have that same purpose. You know, the eyes on the prize is something that, you know, that runners think about. But it's not just for running. It's any kind of thing you're working on, any kind of goal. You want to think about your eyes. You want to think about what it is that you're trying to get. You know, in some movies I've seen, they say, well, you just visualize the prize. Visualize yourself winning the trophy. Visualize yourself and then get there. You know, the get there is the hard part. But do all the things that training requires. Paul says he has to forget all that's behind. His past was persecuting Christians. His past was doing all kinds of things that were bad. You know, he's not focused on the bad things. And often I think Satan wants you to focus. He wants you to be held captive of saying, hey, you can't go for the prize because look what you've done. Look at your past. How could you ever be going after Jesus and still have had these sins, still have these thoughts, still have these problems that people, you know, people might find out about who you really are? Satan wants to trap you. He wants to trap us. He wants us to be captive in those past sins. But Paul here says, we forget the past. The only way we can forget the past is if we have a Savior that has forgiven our past. And if we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that has forgiven us, and he doesn't hold anything in the past against us. He only wants us to be straining towards him, to be going closer to him, and to be enjoying him more and more every day throughout your life forever, right? And then in the end, it is forever. You're with Jesus in eternity. And so Jesus doesn't want you to be held captive like Satan does. Paul wants you to strain towards the prize. He wants you to think about the goal of knowing Jesus, the goal of being with Jesus. You know, you could think, Paul, this guy that is going all around the world telling people about Jesus, he still says that he wants to know Jesus. Well, doesn't he know Jesus? No, but he wants to experience Jesus. He wants to grow in Jesus. You can't ever stop. You can't ever stop growing in Jesus. If you are growing closer and closer to Jesus, you're just going to keep wanting more and more of Jesus. But when we stop, then we start thinking about the world, and we start thinking about what Satan is holding us captive. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. What are you straining after? What is your prize? Is your prize Jesus? Is your prize heavenward? Is your prize what God has called you to in Christ Jesus? Or is your prize something else? Paul then says in verse 15, all of us then who are mature should take such view of these things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make it clear to you. Verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Verse 17, join together in following my examples, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul here says several things in these verses, but he's saying if you are in Christ, you're going to have the mindset of Christ. If you're in Christ, you're going to be thinking differently than the world. If you're in Christ, you're going to be thinking more and more like other believers, and their goal is the prize of Jesus. He says to keep our eyes on people that are looking to Jesus. We aren't to keep our eyes on people that are about themselves. We are to keep our eyes on people that are straining like Paul towards the finish line, straining like Paul towards heaven and towards the prize of Christ Jesus. And so joy-filled believers are going to have their eyes on examples of the faith, examples of people that are in the real world living out their calling and not being conformed by the world, but being transformed by their mind. We're going to have our eyes on these models of people that are loving Jesus no matter what. We're going to have our mindset going after Jesus and together with others. Paul says to keep our eyes on people like that. Now, he's not ever trying to say keep your eyes on people and not Jesus. He's never trying to mean that. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's the first place. That's what we need to keep our eyes on. But it's kind of hard to keep our eyes on Jesus, as usually he's not visible to us. It's hard to kind of think about how do we keep our eyes on someone who's not visible to us. And so maybe to make it a little easier, keep our eyes on people that are visible, those people that are going after Jesus, those people that are pointing people to Jesus, those people that in the trials and in the hardships, they are going after Jesus. They're not stumbling. Doesn't make them perfect, but it means that they're going after the prize of Jesus. You know, people can either be a signpost or they can be a billboard. And when you're going along the highway, you see all kinds of billboards. I guess it depends where you are, but you see a lot of billboards. And the billboards are trying to get you to stop at them. Not literally the billboard. Stop at the next exit where they're serving that kind of food or whatever, or the gas, whatever it is. Stop here, stop here, stop here. The billboards want you to stop. So are you a billboard that wants people to stop and be with them? Stop and be focused on them and how good they are and how wonderful it is to be with them? Or are you a signpost where you're pointing people to Jesus? You're pointing people to the cross. And not in a self-righteous way like we talked about last week, but in a genuine way out of humility, out of caring for your brothers and sisters in Christ or those that haven't found Jesus. A signpost points people to the direction of Jesus, points people to Jesus. So let's look for those signposts. Let's look for examples of people that are walking faithfully with Jesus, that are not calling attention to themselves, but are calling attention to the faithfulness of Christ, calling attention to the beauty of Christ, the joy of being a Christian, not themselves, but to Jesus. You know, we need each other. We need each other in life. And, you know, there's no lone ranger Christian. It's not a healthy Christian anyways. We need each other to come around each other. My wife was telling me that when she was in college, she had some friends that were running the Chicago Marathon. Now, again, I didn't run it. She didn't run it. But they were running. And the last 5 miles of the marathon, her and some of her friends joined with these friends to run with them. Now, did they have to train? Well, I don't know. Maybe she did. Probably not. Did they have to go through all this stuff? No, but what they were trying to do is they were trying to encourage those that had already gone the 21 miles, that were going to just go the last 5 miles. They were trying to encourage them. They were trying to help them to keep their eyes on the prize, to help them keep their eyes on what they were going after. And by the way, she told me that 5 miles didn't seem like 5 miles. It just went so quickly because it was fun. There was a joyous occasion to be running and supporting each other in that way. And of course, her friends that were running the full 26 miles, they felt so supported and they felt so loved, and it helped them a lot on their journey. You know, there's some people that are a lot closer on their journey to Jesus than others. How can we be helping each other, encouraging each other, being part of those friends that come around each other and encourage wherever you are in that walk or that race or that run, right? Wherever they are, let's be encouraging. Let's be cheering them on. You know, but in this example, in Chicago, there's lots of people that were cheering on all these thousands of people that were running. But it was the people that came down with those friends that was the most encouragement. Because those friends, Ellen and her friends, they got to experience it together. They got to enjoy it together. These friends were being supported. You know, even though there's lots of other people cheering and there's excitement of running, when you're with your people, it's way different than just hearing the crowd. When you're with the people that support you, that trust you, that encourage you, you know, we need to look to Jesus as our example, but Jesus also wants us to look at others as examples of following after him. Paul is saying, join together in following my examples. Paul knows that people are following after him. Paul knows that people are looking to him, but he never wants people to say, oh, look at Paul, let's just worship how he worships, or let's just do what he does. Worship Jesus like him. Do life like Paul, but not keep it the center, the focus on Paul. That's why it's so important that we are always having our eyes on the prize of Jesus Christ. And this is what he says then after that. He says in verse 18, "For as often as I told you before, and now I tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things." But he says in verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body." Paul says, there's people that are going after all the wrong things. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's someone you know. But they're going after all the things that can help them feel good about themselves. He says their God is their stomach and their glory is their shame. Their destiny is destruction. They don't realize that. Maybe you don't realize that what you're going after is not eternity. It's not Jesus. It's not heaven. But it says these people, it says their God is their stomach. And I was thinking, like, how can someone ever think, like, hey, my God, what I worship, what I care about, what I'm all about is whatever makes me happy. But then you look around, and maybe you felt that sometimes in your life. Maybe you've done that some in your life. Maybe you're doing that right now. What am I going after? Am I thinking on an earthly mindset? Or am I thinking on a heavenly mindset? Am I thinking about what's going to make me most happy right now? Or am I thinking about the goal of Christ, the goal of knowing him, the goal of running after him and straining after him? Because we can't do both. We can't have our mind set on earthly things and yet still be pursuing Christ. We either set our mind on the earthly things or we set our mind on heavenly things and on what and Christ's mindset of humility. We don't do both. And unfortunately, when your mind is set on earthly things, and if that's what you're going after, it says the destiny is destruction. And that's terrible. That's the bad news, guys. Nobody wants to hear the bad news, because the bad news means that we can't do it on our own. We can't earn our way to heaven. We can't stop all the sin that is in our life. We can't do any of that on our own. We can try, but we need a Savior. And the only way that we can be saved, the only way that we can to not be destroyed, to not have this destruction in the end, is to have a Savior that we cling to, that we hold on to, that Paul says that he's going to press on, and that we press on to Jesus. That means that we didn't just one time say, Lord, please forgive me my sins. But it means that we, on a regular, daily, hourly basis, or however much we need, to be focused on Jesus, to be repenting of our sins, to be keeping our eyes on Jesus, to having our eyes on those examples of helping us in our faith. But we need to have our eyes also on heaven. We need to have our eyes on heaven because heaven is where Jesus is right now. Jesus, he said, he right now has given his Spirit to those who believe in him. He's given us that the presence. We can feel his presence if you've trusted Jesus with your life. You have his Holy Spirit. But right now, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And someday, hopefully soon, someday Jesus is going to return victoriously. He's going to return, and we're all, Paul says earlier in this book, that we're all going to bend our knee We're all going to declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We're all going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's everyone. But right now, that's not the case. Right now, there's a lot of people that will never say, or that they have no thought of saying, Jesus is Lord. They have no thought of anything of Christ. They just think about themselves. And maybe that's you. And maybe that's something that is something you're going through. I want to say today, repent of those things. Repent of that earthly mindset. Repent of the way that's against the cross. Paul says here, he says, these people live as enemies of the cross. You're either in Christ or you're an enemy. There's no Christians. There's no such thing as grandchild Christians. You're either in Christ because you've chosen your life in Christ, because you've chosen to accept his free gift of salvation. It's not because your parents have done it or somebody you know has done it. It's because you have done it. And if you haven't ever done that, if you haven't ever given your life to Jesus Christ, don't wait. Today is the day. It's really simple. It's just having a mindset and just asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins, asking Jesus to give you himself, just confessing that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life and walking with him. And it's every day. It's every day walking with him. And it's not a chore, and it's not a self-righteous way of walking with him to show other people. It's to have our eyes on Jesus. It's to have that mindset of heaven, that our hope is eternal. Our hope is the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Billy Graham once said, my home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. Is that your mindset? That your home is in heaven? That you're a citizen of heaven? That you're just passing through? Our eyes, you know, our eyes often are focused on all the things that are around us, are focused on all the things that we have going on in our life, because life is hard. There's a lot of things that make it hard. But we have a joy in Jesus Christ when we have our eyes on Jesus. I love the verse in Hebrews 12, the first three verses. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then the author of Hebrews continues in 12 verse 2, says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The author of Hebrews might have been Paul, we don't know. But Paul did talk a lot about training and running and finishing strong. He talked a lot about that. But the author of Hebrews, whether it's Paul or someone else, he wants, or she, could be, they want us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. They want us to keep our eyes fixed on him and think about his example and think about how he's perfecting your faith. How when we are in Christ, we're going to throw off all of that sin that so easily entangles us. We're going to run the race marked out for us. And we're going to consider Jesus, who endured such opposition, so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. Jesus, who's making your faith more perfect. You know, this life is a journey. But we have to think about the destination as well. And Jesus' followers, we journey together as citizens of heaven. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are on a journey. And who's on the journey with you? All of us. All of us are on a journey. Where are we going? We're going towards Jesus. We have to have the mindset that we are citizens. If you are accepted Jesus, we have the mindset that you are a citizen not here of this county or this state or this country. We are citizens primarily and first citizens of heaven. Citizens, how does it change the way that you think about heaven and about being in Christ if you are a citizen of heaven? I think when I think about being a citizen of heaven and not just a citizen of this earth, it helps me keep my mind on the prize. It helps me keep my mind on what's the purpose. What am I focusing on? What am I training towards? And who are the people that can help me? Not help me because I need, not because it's me, but because others that are having their faith in Jesus and joining together. You know, the Jesus' followers, we're on this journey. This journey, and guys, we don't know when the end is. We don't know when the last day, the last breath we have. So many of us have heard recently so many people that died unexpectedly. We don't know when that day is. And it's not ever meant to scare, but it is meant to make us think about, where are we going? Where is the destination? Are we citizens of heaven? Well, then let's live like it here. If we're citizens of heaven, then let's live with that focus of the destination. Being on mission during the journey, not just waiting for the end. That means we're going to live differently. We're going to live differently because of Jesus. We're going to live passionately. We're going to live with perspective. We're going to live with purpose. And that is that joy that keeps filling us. We're not going to be fearful of what other people think. We're not going to worry about all the things. We're going to keep our eyes on Jesus. Living together. Journeying together, keeping our eyes focused on that we are citizens of heaven, that Jesus is there. He's the Savior. So when we come together, when we worship together, let's worship with our whole selves. Let's worship with our, not just our minds, but our hearts and our souls, our spirit. We connect to Jesus Christ. We connect together as we worship Him. You know, when you're filled with joy, you just don't hold back in your passion for Jesus. You're not afraid. And so much of this world is about being afraid. When our eyes are fixed on Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. We aren't afraid. Tim Tebow, the famous believer that was a football player, famous football player, I should say, is also primarily a believer in Jesus. He said, one day the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," will matter more than any award. He said, most of us are doing something, chasing something, the next goal, the next promotion, the next milestone. But here's a question he said he's had to ask himself. When people look back at my life, what will they say that I lived for? The applaud fades, but the faithfulness lasts. He says to live in a way that you will hear the words from God one day, "Good, well done, good and faithful servant." That's your ultimate measure of success. Having your eyes on the goal, having your eyes on the prize, having your eyes on what Jesus, who Jesus is and what He wants. How you to live for Him. Your joy-filled challenge this week is to reach out to someone who has set a good example for you in following Jesus. Maybe that's a long time ago. Maybe that's from last week. Whenever it is, think about someone that set a good example to you in your faith and reach out to them and then just try to connect with them and spend some time praying together or worshiping, reading scripture together, serving together, doing something together that's focused on your faith. And that's a way that we can just connect with others, and it would be an encouraging thing. Because we all need someone. We all need each other. People that are helping us go towards Jesus. But also, it's not just who's helping us go towards Jesus. Who's watching us in our life going towards Jesus? Are we an example to others too? So that's your challenge this week. Let me pray. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your call to each person to have You as the prize, as You as the goal. And Lord, I pray that we would be like Paul, that we would go after you, straying towards what's ahead, looking towards you, pressing on to win the prize in heavenward, which is you, Jesus. We pray, Lord, that we would live differently. We would live passionately. We would live with joy, not fearing what others might think. Lord, we would live like citizens of heaven, first and most importantly. And Jesus, we pray that we would be people that help each other, live examples of lives running after you and with the prize of you. Lord, we pray for those that have not chosen you, have not accepted your gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that they would see the goodness, the grace, the joy that other people have in you. And they choose you because of it, Lord. Pray, it doesn't matter because of whatever, but Lord, we pray for you to work, for you to continue to work in people's hearts. Lord, I pray for those that are thinking about whether or not their prize is you, thinking about whether or not they are in you. And Jesus, we just pray that we would confess the sin that so easily entangles us, and that we would race with perseverance, that we would race towards you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus, we thank you that you are the one that saves, and we can't save. But Lord, I just pray for anyone that is not in you, that they would be saved by you, they would receive your gift of salvation, and they would grow more and more in love with you, keeping their eyes on you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. You may take her.
Join us in standing.